you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. And it reads, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise man, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise man. Then was fulfilled there which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." I use of the topic on today, they're killing the children. They're killing the children. This Sunday is Passover Sunday, and Passover should have great significance to us as believers. Amen. Passover is, we know that in John 1:29, when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which come to take away the sins of the world." There was that Passover lamb that he was talking about. The Passover is an event that the Bible tells us in Leviticus 23 is one of the events that we are to memorize, that we are to memorialize, that we are to keep going as believers. And see, we got all these other special days and events that we keep up with, such as Columbus Day and President's Day and all these other days. But when it comes to the days that God told us to remember in Leviticus 23, one of those days is Passover. And it's that time that God said that we should remember him. We should do this in remembrance of him. So today is Passover. And we want to acknowledge the Passover lamb. Christ Jesus being the Passover lamb. Christ Jesus being the one that came to save us from our sins, to bring us deliverance and to bring us healing. But the thing we must understand about Passover is that there was a beginning to Passover before Passover came about. What was the beginning? If you go to the book of Exodus, the first chapter, you find there that the Egyptians began to be afraid of the Jews because they were having all these children. So they went to the midwives and told the midwives, "Kill the male children." And the midwives had God speaking to them. And the midwives would not kill those children, they said, because they were so lively. And before we could get to them, they had already delivered the children. They wanted them to kill the children. Pharaoh was not satisfied with that. Pharaoh even went so far as to say, "I want you to kill all the male children that are being born." And when they heard this decree go out, it said that Moses' mother took him and put him in a bulrush and sent him down the river because she did not want to kill her child, seeing that he was a goodly child. But at this time, it was a decree that it went out to kill the children. Amen. We find the same Moses was the same one in Exodus 12, where we see now God is telling him, "This shall be to you the beginning of months. This shall be to you the Passover. For when I see the blood, I will pass over you." That word Passover means, in the Greek word, the word Pesach. And what it means is that God said he will hover over your house, hover over you to keep the destroying angel from coming in to kill you. But what does this have to do with children being killed? We saw the time of Moses, the one who brought about the Passover, God used to bring about the Passover. We saw them being killed when Moses was a little boy being born. We saw the same thing happening when Christ Jesus was being born, where they said they had them even weeping and mourning because their children were not. And once again, Christ Jesus became, as it said in John 1:29, that Passover lamb. He became the Passover lamb for us. Amen. So what does that have to do with today? Got a very sad statistic to report, especially to the African American community. They released, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, released a study talking about the number of African American children being destroyed. Listen to what it says. It says, since abortion was legalized in 1973, more than 14 million African American babies have been killed. This is more than the total number of African Americans death from all other causes combined. Heart disease, diabetes, cancer, crime, accidents, AIDS. It's more than all of them combined you see them being murdered before they even can start their life. About 1,200 African American babies are killed by abortion in the United States every day. A disproportionate number of nations' abortion clinics are located in low-income and minority neighborhoods where a majority of African Americans live. So you wonder why they're having abortions. Because it's convenient. They made it convenient. We're going to see why it's made so convenient for them to kill those babies. Approximately 35% of all abortions in the United States, one out of three abortions, are performed on African American women. One out of three abortions, they say, black women, African American women that are doing it. In 1990, African Americans comprised the largest minority group in the United States. Now it's Hispanics. You think that abortion is by mistake? No, it's not. They know what they're doing. African-American women who abort their first pregnancy have a 2.8 to 4.7 times greater risk of developing breast cancer. See, we don't hear the downside to it. So we have been having all these, well, I want to improve my life and I want to be better, I want to do better. How did this scourge come into the black community where we thought so little of our babies? There's a lady by the name of Margaret Sanger, who was the founder, they say, of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger was a racist. Margaret Sanger did not like black folks, considered them to be inferior people. Margaret Sanger, what she did, she said she wanted to control the population of the weak and of those who's feeble-minded. And she wanted, in other words, she was trying to say, I want to control black folks. And a lot of us didn't realize it. And so what she did, she covenanted with W.B. Du Bois and Adam Clayton Powell and had them set up a birth control center right up there in New York. And so that thing starts, you wonder why a lot of these black politicians have lined up behind this stuff called abortion. I mean, it's scandalous and it's totally bad that these black politicians are saying they support abortion so that you can have a better chance in life, so that you can do better, because you know your children, they're going to have it much harder unless you abort that child. Let me tell you this right here. When my son was born, before he was born, they wanted to abort him. They told my wife she had a tubal ligation, I think is the term they called it, had a tubal pregnancy. They say it's best that you abort that boy. Now, look at us. I was working a job that first year we were married. We had a total income between the two of us of $6,000. That was to feed three people. $6,000. I was working a nighttime job cleaning up, making $4 an hour. I won't make it hardly any money. And see, those are the people that say, well, you know what? Those are the ones who we need to target. Because they need to be able to improve themselves and have better income status or better income, a better chance at making income later in life. Well, you know what? We were making out a second opinion. And for that reason, our son is now here. He's now a minister in training. He's now playing the drums. He's now sharing the gospel. He's now preaching the gospel. That same time he thought was so hard and so bad. Now my wife can stay home now. Don't have to go to work. So yeah, and it wasn't because we got rid of that baby. It wasn't because we got rid of that child. That wasn't where our fortunes came from. Our fortunes came from trusting in a Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And the
what you want to have is because your lack of trust and faith in Jesus. I know when I was coming up, my mama had 12 of us. I mean, there wasn't no birth control. So when he had the baby, if you got pregnant, you had the baby. You know what? All 12 of us made it. Not a single one of us died. Not a single one of us was aborted or killed. We all made it. Why? Because there was a trust and a faith in God. My mom was working doing domestic service. My daddy working janitorial work. Was not the best paying job. But you know what? Look at what came from it. Because they trusted God. And so they're trying to tell you, no, we can make it better. So these politicians, they've agreed. You know what? Your life can be better. If you abort that child, your life can be better. If you get rid of that child, without realizing that child could be your answer later on in life.
Amen.
We're killing the children. Margaret Sanger came up with this thing called the Negro Project in 1939. The Negro Project, the thing she was trying to show is that, well, why... these black folks, these African-American children, why should have birth control? Now, you go back and you read the book of Exodus, first chapter. One of the reasons why they wanted to kill the children all, because they may become greater than what we are, and they become greater than what we are, they may covenant with the enemy and overtake us. That's the reason they're trying to control the black population, because they are afraid that some black folks going to rise up in rebellion, remembering how they was hurt, how they was beaten, how they was raped. They had all these other things happen. And so that guilt conscience, hey, we got to get rid of them black folks. We got to get rid of them. So Margaret Sanger set that thing in place. And you got these old black folks. See, knows what Pharaoh did. The same thing is happening now. Pharaoh went and talked to the midwives. Say, midwives, I want you to kill those children as they're being born, those males, I want you to kill them. Now, what happened then, that you had midwives that were godly. And they listened to God when they listened to man. But see now, you got, they going, they covenant with these politicians. And these folks talking about, well, hey, don't you think your community would be better off if you killed the black children? Don't you think the community would be better off? Those who can't afford to take care of children, they can get them an education. Don't you think it would be better off? Well, I tell you what, you look around. Before they legalized abortion with Roe versus Wade, look at the black community and tell me what it was like. And now look at the black community and tell me what it's like and tell me that it's better. We are believing what they're saying rather than believing what God's word has to say.
Amen.
God said, I want to bring up a people that's holy and that's righteous.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's how the Passover started. Because Moses' mother thought he was a goodly child. And Moses was not willing to go along with what society said.
Amen.
But Moses' mother said that I'm going to keep my child. I'm going to protect my child. And that's the same thing I'm saying now. These mothers that have aborted their children, you talk to them.
Amen.
They're doing drugs.
Amen.
They're more promiscuous. They're going from man to man, trying to find something to relieve that thing because they knew there was a life inside of them that they've aborted, they killed. And I've heard of some women, not even 30 years old, have already had 3 to 5 abortions. That life that they don't consider to be a life. Killing that life. And we don't understand what's happening. It's a thing because as Pharaoh was, Egypt was afraid of the people.
Amen.
And there are folks that are afraid of what God has placed in you. And the only thing that can control that thing that God's placed in you is that they snuff you out from the very beginning. That they kill you. God wants us to know that he has called us and given us promise. There are some folks say that baby, the way it's not a baby, it's no more than a mass of blood. Some you can discard away with, you can get rid of. Even to the point now they have what they call partial birth abortion. The baby can be born. Everything is outside of the mother except for the head of the child. The legs and the arms ankles and the feet are outside, but the head is still in. Because if the baby is totally born, then it would be considered murder. But they said they can just bring everything out up until the ninth month. They can bring everything out except for the head. Then that gives them the right to go in to abort that baby. And what they do, they take something, they puncture the back of the baby's head, squeeze the brains out. They squeeze the head, and the baby's legs and arms and feet are outside kicking and kicking and kicking, and God's gonna crash us forward.
Yes, yes, yes.
We can't kill life, and God not judge us forward.
Amen. Amen.
Innocent babies.
Yes.
And we're involved in politics. Homosexual,
amen.
He can change his mind.
Amen.
A racist, he can change his mind. Mm-hmm. A cross-dresser can change his mind. A liar and a thief, you can change him. But that baby who's been snuffed out in the womb, what chance do they have?
Amen.
How can we possibly support anybody that's in support of killing the innocent?
Jesus.
How can we possibly support anybody that's in support of destroying that life in the womb? That's not fighting back. Haven't talked back to you. Haven't cursed you out. Haven't stepped on your toes. And still you're going to take that innocent life for what?
Yes.
Genesis 32, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead? Who else will have from thee the fruit of the womb? Jacob was saying, God is the one that pushed that life in the womb. Man didn't do it. I know you may have thought you had a good time out there, or you may have forgotten to take your contraceptive along with you, and that's why you got pregnant. No, the reason you got pregnant is because God placed that life there. And we're thinking that that we're the ones that are doing. All you have to do is talk to plenty of women who are trying to conceive and can't conceive. And they don't have any children. And they're trying to have children. It's God, the Bible says, that openeth the womb. Deuteronomy 7:13 says this. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land. God says a blessing for me to have children. And the world has told us that it's a curse. What you going to do with all them children? How you going to handle all them children?
Amen.
You have as many children as God gave to you. I don't care how those children come. Whether it's by rape, whether by incest. If that's a child from God, that's a child from God.
Come on.
I know. See, but what it is, see, we don't teach that. And so now when women go through things like that, they feel like, oh, woe is me. So we're teaching the word of God that, hey, that's a life that God has given. Yeah, it may have been bad. I'm not making light of any woman that has gone through something like that. Because that can be a tough thing, can be a hard thing to experience. But what I'm trying to say, that's still a life that God has given. We can't compound one mistake with another. We can't compound one sin with another. We can't make one sin right by doing another sin. We can't do that. If it was wrong, it was wrong. Both times.
Amen.
God is going to give you the fruit of the womb. Psalm 127:3 says this. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord.
Amen.
And the fruit of the womb is his reward. God is the one giving it. Who do we think we have the right? And some of us say, well, you know what? It's no more than a mass of blood. That's all it is. It's not life. It's not life. Okay. So if that's not life then, and the child comes out, and the Bible says we are spirit, body, and soul. We're tripartite beings. When does the soul enter in? When does the soul enter in? If it's not a life, when does the soul, because the Bible said God breathed life into Adam and it became a living soul. So when does the person become a soul? When does the soul become a part of the person's life?
Amen.
It's never a part of the person's life? No. At conception, it becomes a part of the person's life. Because that soul, you see, we're looking at the natural. But that soul, you can't go and quantify according to the natural. That soul, the minute that sperm and the egg comes together, God says, let there be life, and there is life in that womb. And the mother's up in prayer and can't explain it. That life growing inside of her. That moving and kicking and spinning and twisting and turning. You can't explain it because you didn't do it.
Amen.
God did it.
Amen.
So the soul, when does it start? You talking about the flesh? That means it's like saying because I'm not 6 feet tall now that I'm not a man. I mean, we grow.
Mm-hmm.
We grow. And that's like that everything has a beginning. And that's our beginning. When those two come together, that's the life.
It is. Amen.
Somebody's convinced us.
Amen.
That it's not life.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 139:13-16 says this. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for thou art fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Thou formed me. God formed you in your mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:4 says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Jeremiah. Saying God formed him in the belly before he even came out. Luke 1:39-41. You find that Elizabeth comes to Mary and said the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. When they heard the salutation, when it came to the presence of our Lord in the womb of Mary, the babe that was in Elizabeth's womb leaped. Why? Because it was a life that had a soul.
Amen.
Amen.
And we think that we can make the decisions as to when a person should live and when a person should die.
Amen.
God wants us to know that he gave us an example in Christ Jesus our Lord. He wants us to know that he gave us an example that we can know how we should live as righteous men of God. And see, some folks are in darkness. Well, you don't see abortion in the Bible. You don't see that word in the Bible. The Didache was a first century document that we hear the assembly go by. The Didache was a document that God gave to the apostles for instruction to give to the Gentile. Because the Gentile, they didn't know the word of God. So they needed some order so they could be in order when doing the things of God. Because they didn't know how to act. That's why you see all those epistles being written. Trying to tell the Gentiles how to set themselves in order. One man taking around his stepmother, though it was his wife. Another man getting married 2 and 3 times and 4 times, not seeing anything wrong with it. A bestiality and homosexuality going on. And folks, because that was the norm of the day. That's what they were doing in the Roman Empire. And so God said, I've got to give these folks some order so they'll know how the church should behave itself.
Amen.
So you won't say you're a child of God, but you're living like the devil.
Yes.
Well, they did it. They gave him the Didache. The Didache was this right here. Like I said, it was the teachings they gave to the 12 apostles for them to give to the Gentiles for how they should govern themselves. And listen to what the Didache says right here. The second commandment of the teaching, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not corrupt boys. Talking about pedophiles. Do not fornicate. Talking about having sex before marriage. Do not steal. Do not practice magic. Dial the 900 number. Reading your horoscopes. Do not go in for sorcery. Having your palm read. Looking at the crystal ball. And then it says, do not murder a child by abortion or kill a newborn infant. This is the Didache. This is what the apostles wrote. This is what they gave to the church to give them instruction as to how they should live godly lives. So they're talking about, well, you know what? A bush not in the Bible. Well, if you look and you follow the teaching of the apostles, you follow the lies, you find that it is there. And so this is an extra biblical source showing you. See, because they knew there are some things you shouldn't even talk about if you're a child of God. There's no way you should talk about killing that child that's in your womb if you're a child of God. There's no way you should do those things. But we've been bamboozled. We've been told you can have a better life by killing those children. You can have a better life. And see, what they want you to know is this right here. That when it comes to a child of God, we must realize that, yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. There are some women who've had abortions because they believe the lies of the world. There are some women who've had abortions because they say, well, that man's not going to be there with me, so I'm not going to bring this baby by myself. There are some women who had abortions because they figured that having that baby was going to interfere with their career. There are some women, seeing the sad thing about it, and that's why I say, we as church, we got to get this thing right. There are women in the church that were bold enough to keep that baby. But because they kept that baby, we looking at them like, ooh. Instead, not looking at those women who had those abortion after abortion, but because they're not showing anything, they're not bringing anything before me in the church. And we'll say, oh, this is good sister so-and-so. She hasn't been pregnant. She doesn't have any babies out of wedlock. I'm going to tell you, you've already committed one sin. Don't commit another sin and kill that baby. Bring that baby into the world. Amen. You don't know what joy and peace that baby can bring you down the road.
Amen.
Amen. I went to a hospital the lady, and she had like maybe 3 or 4 children out of wedlock. All her children were grown and doing well. There was nothing any better to be there in the hospital, and she was dying because she had cancer. She was an old lady. And she was down, she had cancer. But to see her children there by her bedside, talking about the goodness of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, you talking about, oh, you looking bad at that person because they had a child away, like, instead of realizing, but for the grace of God, there go I. I've made mistakes. Thanks be to God that we all didn't get pregnant every time we lay down with somebody. Because we all got pregnant, we all have a story to tell.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. We don't realize, we don't understand it's God's grace. So yeah, these women who've gotten pregnant because they listened to the wrong influences, they've listened to the wrong people. We got to go ahead and restore them. Let them know that life that's in your womb, that's no longer in your control. Encourage them to have those babies. These politicians is trying to tell you that abortion is all right. So we ought to become bold. Isaiah 58 says what? Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. If there is a politician that said he supports abortion, there is no way, especially in the African-American community, when his killers were dying, we're being killed by gang violence in the streets, we're being killed in abortion clinics, we're being wiped out. And there's no way in the world that you should support any candidate that's for abortion. The Bible never told us to choose the lesser of two evils.
Amen.
Never did he tell the truth there. Well, I got to vote for somebody. No, you don't either.
Amen.
You can pray for them because that's what happened here.
That's right.
Moses' parents. So it was righteous. They put them away. And they talked to God. And God brought Moses to be a deliverer for them. Christ Jesus' parents knew that he was the Son of God. They went away into Egypt to protect and to keep that child. Knowing that a day and a time is going to come where that same Jesus was going to rise up to deliver us from our sin. What am I saying? I'm saying sometimes you got to pray that God can turn this thing around.
Amen.
Instead of voting for these folks who are killing babies, you need to be praying for them. And I'm here right now. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of your son Jesus, every official that is against that child being born, every official that is against, that is for partial birth abortion, I pray, Father, you would curse them now in Jesus'
name.
Did I say that? Yes, I said that. Why? God gave me that to say. Come here to tell you, it's time out for us to kill people. The way they turned that thing around in the time of Moses, the way they turned that thing around in the time of Christ Jesus, is that God had to intercede. And the Bible said, when we come together, and when we touch, and when we agree, God said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. It's time out for killing these babies.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't need to take a bomb and blow up an abortion clinic. But I know God can shut it down.
Yeah.
I don't need to shoot an abortion doctor. But I know God can shut him down.
Yes.
And that's the word I'm speaking on today.
Yes.
It's time out for that foolishness.
Yes,
killing his innocent life.
Yes.
I look out and see these babies and these children here.
Amen.
Haven't heard anybody.
Jesus.
All they want is to be born.
Amen.
And we're depriving them the one thing they want. And God said, this life that I give, God said that in Ezekiel 18, behold, all souls are mine. We don't have the right to destroy any life. And for that woman, we need to go out there and rescue those women. And for you women that are listening by the way of the radio, and you are in a bondage, and you're in a bind, give me a call. We're going to help you out. We're not going to let you go through this by yourself. That life in your womb is much more precious than you realize. God gave you that life. God wants you to take care of that life. And for every woman, when you made a mistake, but you were bold enough to say, God, I don't care about what they say about me. This life you've given to me, God, I'm going to take care of this life. I'm going to raise it and nurture, God, to love you and to serve you, God. For you, I pray for you that you'll be encouraged and not give up. The babies. They're killing the babies. We have got to make a difference. It's no more going along with somebody just because of the color of their skin or because they were a certain political party. It's no longer going along with somebody just because they gave us money. You're talking about taking innocent lives. I mean, if you don't have a job and they discriminate against you in your job, well, you can find your job and start working with your own hands and do something.
Amen.
But that baby, what opportunity does that baby have? We're more concerned about economics and education than we are about the righteousness of God's word.
Amen.
They're killing the babies.
Lord Jesus.
They're killing the babies. What are we going to do? Are we going to just stay back and let them kill them? These innocent babies? Or are we going to become vocal pieces? Are we going to start speaking out? Are we going to start crying loud? Are we going to start saying, that's a life? And you shouldn't get rid of that child. You should keep that child. No, we don't. People are individual. And God, we can't force, God didn't force us. We can't force anybody to do anything. But we can speak that word. And anytime when it's something like we can declare and let them know that thing you're doing is wrong, that thing you're doing is harmful, that thing you're doing is sinful, we can let them know what the truth of God's word is. We've gone from being, and see, if you look at the statistics, it says since 1973, the passage of Roe versus Wade, 14 million African American babies have been killed. They say right now that the Hispanic population is the largest minority population in this country. You know what? If you take those 14 million babies and the babies those babies would have had, you put on top of that, we would still be the largest minority population in this country. But you know what has happened? We've killed ourselves out. And it's by design. It's Margaret Sanger at work. That's what she wanted. And it's happening. And we're so fooled by the works of the enemy that we can't see. That we can't see. And the thing I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to tell any woman to go out there and you're not married, get pregnant. I'm not telling you to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm trying to say that if you do get pregnant, don't compound one mistake with another. One sin with another. Because God is the one that gives life. Let us stand.